Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Civ and the Swede podcast. This is your host, Gus Elvin. We're here for our third episode. Ben Arledge will be joining me in a moment. A little bit of a treat for you guys this week. We're going to go away from the NHL. We've been covering that and the playoff race pretty hot recently. But this week we're going to look at the NCAA hockey tournament. The brackets were released last Sunday. We're going to go through region by region. Tell you what to look for in terms of matchups, in terms of key players to watch at both this tournament and maybe at the next level in the future, and even get down into some projections from me and Ben. I'm going to let Ben in now. Ben, how you doing this morning, and how you feeling right now? Ready to talk about some college hockey?
Well, I'm pumped up for some college hockey right now. I'm just a little disappointed that my Colgate Raiders were beat out in the ECAC championship last week by Harvard. So unfortunately, we won't be able to pick apart Charlie Finn and the Raiders this morning. But we do have a lot of good first-round matchups, I think, here.
Yeah, we're going to go region by region. But just to start, for those not familiar with the NCAA hockey tournament setup, this is a 16-team bracket. I think that's something that NCAA has got to look at going forward. I think now we're at the point where more and more schools are developing a competitive hockey team. Arizona State's even in the West is a team that's going to be moving and transitioning towards D1 in the future. I think this tournament has to expand. I think it would make the tournament better. And the other thing to look at here, one more thing quickly, is this is a strict seeding format. There's usually not too many arguments in terms of teams getting snubbed. It follows a strict guideline of those who fall in the top 16. And lastly, this isn't like the NCAA basketball tournament. For those of you who like the NCAA basketball tournament and know the one seeds pretty much always advance, in a 16-team bracket, the teams are closely paired. A lot of times the four can pull an upset. And the NCAA tournament in hockey usually results in a lot of upsets and a lot of parity. So as we get through that, I think we'll start with the Northeast Regional. This takes place in Manchester, New Hampshire. UNH the host. BU, the number one seed. We all know about BU. Ben, what do you think about the Terriers? Team comes in hot, and we know about Jack Eichel, probably most likely the second overall pick in this upcoming NHL draft.
This team's just too deep. This team actually is my champion when I fill out the bracket. I have them going all the way through. I mean, Jack Eichel, we don't even need to talk about him. 66 points, lead to the entire nation in scoring there. But then you got Evan Rodriguez right behind him. He's tied with Sia of Harvard for second place in points. Danny O'Regan. This offense is phenomenal. It's the number one offense in the nation with almost 3.9 goals per game. And then you got Matt O'Connor in the net, NHL prospect. He's got a .928 save percentage and just over 2 goals a game against. This is, in my eyes, the best team in the nation, and I think they're going to run right through. Although they do have to play a tough defensive Yale team, which I'll get to in a second, I guess. But what are your thoughts on BU?
Yeah, I think the number one team, that's the thing that sticks out with this club, is just the offense and the offensive depth. You mentioned some of the guys here. Eichel is the big name, but Rodriguez, O'Regan, Grizzlick from the point. Antti Oksanen is one of the best power play players here, a guy who plays offense and defense this year, primarily a forward, played a lot of D for them last year. He's a lethal goal scorer on the power play. A lot of his goals come from Jack Eichel and the special teams. His team comes in hot, 13-3-1 since losing at home to BC on January 16th. They rolled through the Hockey East tournament. I actually went to their quarterfinal matchup against Merrimack, saw this team in person. And despite getting down early, they just dominated a young Merrimack team. 20-6 goal differential in that tournament. They really breezed through it without a lot of close calls. And I think the other key that gets overlooked is what you mentioned, a solid goalie, a guy who's going to be a coveted NHL free agent as soon as his season ends this year. I think BU is one of the more complete teams in the field, and I think we're going to see that early on. The big thing here is, can that top line, the guy Eichel, the young freshman, who the Hobey Baker favorite and the NCAA's leading scorer, can he carry this team to a Frozen Four and to a national title as a freshman? That's a lot to ask of a kid, but if anyone's up to the task, I think a kid this talented is more than capable of doing that. You kind of alluded to it. I think this is a decent way to go. We'll look at the first round matchup first. What do you know about the 4-seed Yale coming out of the ECAC? This is a young team, but what do you think about Yale and their potential chances here of maybe pulling an upset in round one against Boston University?
Well, I know two things about Yale. Number one, they do not score. They don't have a single scorer in the top, I believe. They just don't have much offense there. However, their team defense is number one in the league. I'm sorry, in the nation, at just 1.59 goals allowed per game. This entire team pretty much pivots around the sophomore Alex Lyon in net. He's got a 9.39 save percentage, 1.58 goals against average, and 7 shutouts. All three of those numbers are best in the nation. He is the best goalie statistically this season. And this team, who basically got in because, you know, Harvard was able to knock out Colgate, pivots entirely around defense and around that goaltender. They're not going to be able to score on that O'Connor, I don't think. And I don't know if Lyon is going to be able to hold off all of those offensive weapons from BU. That's why I got BU taking this game, offense over defense in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I think Yale is a very good young team. Their top five scorers are all underclassmen. I think that's one issue here as they make the NCAA tournament. This is a team that kind of came along quicker than most expected. We talked about Alex Lyon, and it's hard not to when you mention Yale. This guy's been the best goalie in the NCAA this season in just terms of pure statistics. Some will judge the competition that they played in the ECAC, but you can't take away anything that Lyon's done. The number one defense in the nation versus the number one offense in the nation, I think it's just too tough for Yale here. I don't think they can score enough goals. They only average 2.6 a game. Going against a BU team that averages just under 4 a game, I just don't think they have enough answers defensively. BU's just got more firepower, more experience, and the best player in this game is Jack Eichel, and I think he makes a huge difference. This is a kid who is on fire in the Hockey East tournament. I think that carries over, and BU gets through Yale despite Alex Lyon's best heroics in net. Moving on to that other game in that region, the 2-3 matchup, got the UMD Bulldogs out of the NCHC, and we got a Minnesota team that comes in as a 3-seed, but I think is a very dangerous 3-seed out of the Big Ten, playing their best hockey at the right time of the year. How do you see this one shaking up between UMD and Minnesota? Obviously a rivalry there, and a team, some teams that have matched up plenty this season already.
Yeah, I actually like Minnesota in this one. They're coming off a Big Ten championship. This is going to be a game of weak goaltending. Neither team plays strong defensively. They both have subpar goaltenders. Adam Wilcox probably having the edge here for Minnesota. But the thing that Minnesota has that UMD does not is the offense. They're number 5 offense in the nation. They have the best power play in the nation at over 28%. They got guys like Mike Riley, who moves the puck so well. He's got 36 assists on the year. But then they got guys that can finish too, like Kyle Rau, Travis Boyd, both with 20 and 19 goals on the season there. I like Minnesota, as you said, a dangerous 3-seed in this tournament. They got bumped a little bit because of the Big Ten championship there at the end. But this is a team I think that can come in and actually upset the Minnesota Duluth squad here and face BU in the quarters.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Minnesota as well. UMD is a team that got off to a great start but really limped down the stretch. I think that's one thing to watch with this team. They lost their last 3. They only won 2 of their last 8 and 7 of the last 19. This is a team that really rested on their laurels early in the year. They played very well in the non-conference, got off to a good start in conference play. But it's really been trending in the wrong direction. Luckily for them, their RPI was strong enough. That league is strong enough. We haven't really talked about that league as a whole, but the NC HC gets 6 out of its 8 teams into the NCAA tournament. I think that really is the reason UMD was able to survive and really did so very comfortably. They were very safe in terms of seeding. This is a young team up front. They have two Toronto prospects who are their two leading scorers here, Tony Cameronese and Dom Tominato. Both of those guys are capable NCAA scorers, but neither is one of those breakout huge big-time scorers. Walensky on the back line is a Ducks prospect and all NCHC D-man. He's a very good player and will be key in this matchup against the very strong Minnesota offense. And then very young in goal with Casimir Koskuo from Finland. This is a guy who's been up and down, a true freshman starting in net here for UMD. I like Minnesota, though. I think this is a team – I like teams that are playing their best hockey at this time of year. I think Minnesota is a perfect example of that. You mentioned the power play is number one in the nation, 12-3-1 in their last 16, kind of looking for redemption after last season's disappointment in the NCAA tournament. I think this team is better than you think in goal. I think Wilcox, while he wasn't an elite goalie this year, this is the guy who was the conference player of the year last season. He obviously has a sour taste in his mouth after giving up 6 last year in the title game to Union. This is a 3-year starter. I think as a junior here, I think he's a big player to watch for Minnesota, and I think everyone knows Minnesota's going to score. I think they're going to be a little bit better defensively. In terms of offense, Mike Riley, the defenseman, has been their best player this season, a Hobie Baker finalist. His brother also is a very good player on this team, 2 brothers on this team. They have 7 forwards with 10-plus goals, Kyle Rau, Travis Boyd, Justin Kluse. I think this team is one of the better teams in the tournament, and I actually like Minnesota to come out of the region here and upset BU. I think Minnesota has the offensive depth to hang with the Terriers, and I really think Wilcox is going to have a big tournament here as a veteran goalie who's been in this spot before.
All right, moving on, where do you want to go next?
I think we should just go here. We'll go to the West region. We'll go over to Fargo, North Dakota. North Dakota comes in as the number one seed in this region. They basically have a de facto home game. Tech comes in as number 2 seed from the WCHA. St. Cloud gets an at-large bid from the HC, and then Quinnipiac is one of the final teams in the field, a team we're familiar with here in Connecticut. They get in also out of the ECAC as an at-large team, a team that's been in the tournament now 3 straight years. How do you see the West Regional breaking out, starting with the top seed and favored North Dakota?
I have North Dakota winning this game. Quinnipiac's pretty banged up right now. Otherwise, it would be a little bit closer, I think. But I give the advantage here to UND. You got Zane McIntyre in net. He's had a phenomenal season. They don't have a ton of goal scorers here. Mark McMillan is actually their leading scorer with just 16. A guy like Michael Parks moves the puck around well and creates scoring opportunities, 32 points on the season. But I think Quinnipiac's just too banged up overall. Although you do have to look out for a guy like Sam Annis, who, you know, he's got 9 power play goals. He moves the puck well when they're man up. I got UND beating out Quinnipiac in this first round matchup. Who do you have?
Yeah, I have North Dakota as well. I think the North Dakota comes in as the regular season champs in the toughest league in college hockey this season. Quinnipiac, while had a great season, especially after losing a lot of key players in the Jones Twins and Jordan Samuel Thomas from a year ago, I think this is a Quinnipiac team that is not at their best. I like ND up front. Kajulia had a big year, 16 goals, 17 assists for 33 points. Mike Parks, the Schmaltz brothers are very good, Jordan and Nick. I think you talked about the key with North Dakota. I think they have one of the better goaltenders in this tournament. Zane McIntyre, Hobie Baker finalist, gets me to that second game in this weekend. And I think North Dakota at home is going to be awful tough to beat. This is a team that plays so well at home, and I think that's going to be a rocking crowd wearing a lot of green and white come this weekend. In the other matchup, Michigan Tech. This is a good story. Michigan Tech out of the WC. HA, they come in as a team that hadn't been in the tournament since 1981. Mel Pearson gets them back. They finished the season ranked number 5. A lot of offensive talent. I think there's some question marks with this team in terms of who they played and whether they're as good a competition as some of the other teams in this field. But Michigan Tech, a great story, back in the tournament for the first time in a long time. And they have a Hobey Baker finalist themselves in Tanner Caro, and a lot of offensive depth to go along with them.
Yeah, I don't think this one's even close, to be honest. I think Michigan Tech takes this game. You mentioned Tanner Caro. He's got 19 goals on the year. He's been phenomenal. But it goes all the way back to the net, too, again here. The number two defense in the nation with 1.77 goals allowed, and it starts with Jamie Phillips in net. He started the most games in the nation this year with 40 games played, and he still put up top three numbers in save percentage and goals against average. I think this I think St. Cloud's happy to be here with this one because Michigan Tech's going to roll this game. And they can score up front. They have a number six offense with, you know, about 3.5 goals per game. This team is just better than St. Cloud State, I think, and I think they move on to play North Dakota in the second round of this bracket.
Yeah, a lot of double-digit scores for the Huskies, and I think that gets them through. I think they're one of the more balanced teams in this entire tournament. You look at Michigan Tech ranking sixth in the country in offense at over 3.5 goals a game, number two in defense with Phillips and Nett backstopping them, and a top group with Caro, Patan, and Gold, three of the better players in the WCHA. I think Michigan State gets through a St. Cloud team that kind of got into the tournament at the very end. They held on to their spot. A couple upsets in that final conference tournament weekend could have pushed them out. But a good team in its own right. Joey Benick, Johnny Brzezinski, two very good offensive players. Kali Kosola, a Finnish kid who is very talented as a sophomore. Patrick Russell from Denmark, another very talented European player on this team. I just worry about St. Cloud State. A lot of losses this year, and very up and down. This is a very mercurial team, and I just don't think they're as consistent or as balanced as a Michigan Tech team. In this region, as I kind of alluded to, I have North Dakota coming through. I just think home ice is a huge key here. And North Dakota being the best team in the toughest conference this year, I think that gets them by a Michigan Tech team that, while is extremely talented and a legit squad, I just don't think they played as many big games this year. And this is definitely a step up in competition playing against the North Dakota team with a lot of NHL prospects, especially in really their home ring.
I actually have Michigan Tech coming out of this one, being North Dakota. I agree with you. North Dakota is probably the better team here, and their goaltending has been phenomenal. But I like Michigan Tech here. I think they steal one in the second round here and move on to play BU.
Moving to our third regional here, the Midwest regional, the number one overall seed in this entire tournament, Minnesota State. This is a team that hadn't been in the tournament a long time. Now they've gone three straight years under Mike Hastings. Out of the WCHA, what do you know about Michigan State, and how do you see them faring this weekend in a bracket that includes Omaha, Harvard, and RIT, the champions of the Atlantic?
Well, I'll get to it, but I don't have them actually coming out of this bracket here. I think they're a very talented team, but I mean, if you look at the stats here, their offense is top three. Stefan Williams is potentially top three goaltender in the nation with a 1.64 goals against, 9.26 save percentage. Their power play is phenomenal. The number four power play in the nation. And they got guys like Bryce Gervais, who, you know, 27 goals on the year. They got guys like Matt Littner, who moves the puck around well, 41 points on the year. This is a very talented team, this Maverick team. However, I do think they get through RIT, but I think they run into a roadblock in the second round here. RIT, talented team as well. They got in because basically winning the Atlantic, they were not ranked. They're a team that went to the Frozen Four as recent as 2010. And they got a stellar goaltender in that as well in Jordan Ruby, just over two goals against. And they got a lot of offensive power up front. Matt Grabowski, Josh Mitchell, these are both guys with over 50 points, and Grabowski is third in goals in the nation. And that's before you even factor in Brad McGowan, who has 45 points in his own right. The problem here, I think, is the defense. RIT has a weak defense. They're outside the top 20 in the nation. And their big power penalty kill, I'm sorry, penalty kill, which is top five in the nation, runs into that number four power play. I have Michigan State beating out RIT in this first round.
Yeah, I have Minnesota State beating RIT as well. The Mavericks really were consistent this season. They carried that league throughout. We mentioned Gervais and Leitner. I think those are two of the better players in this region, two guys to watch. If you haven't seen Minnesota State play, they're an extremely exciting offensive team. They get up and down, a lot of skill up front, particularly in the two guys I mentioned, Gervais and Leitner, excuse me. I think they get through RIT. RIT has one of the better players in the region, one of the better offensive players in the entire tournament, Hobey Baker finalist. But I don't think RIT can replicate that magic they had a few years back. This team is 0-3 versus tourney teams. They were handled against their best opposition out of conference early in the season. I think RIT will score some goals here, but I don't think they can hang with Minnesota State. I just think this is a team on a mission and a team that is just too much talent up front. The second matchup is an interesting one to me. Omaha and Harvard. I think this region might be the easiest of the four. And I think Nebraska-Omaha, for a team that came in struggling down the stretch, I think Omaha is very high in terms of a seed line at a number two seed. Third appearance in school history. They've never won an NCAA tournament game. I think this is another example of the committee just looking at Nebraska-Omaha and saying, and rewarding it for playing in the NCHC, which was the deepest and toughest league this year. How do you see this battle between Omaha and ECAC champ Harvard shaking out this weekend?
Well, you kind of pointed to it. I think Omaha is probably overseeded here, and I think Harvard actually takes this game, Harvard coming off that ECAC championship, and they have some weapons on that squad. You know, being goalie, I'll start in the net here, Steve Mihalik. He's been very strong. He was a big reason that Harvard hung with BU so long in that Beanpot Championship a month ago. He's got a .924 save percentage on the year. And up front, they can score. My Colgate Raiders found that out very quickly, that Jimmy Vasey is a very offensive weapon. He's got 31 goals on the year. He got his 30th and 31st in that game. That's number two in scoring behind Jack Eichel of BU on the year. But they have a lot of depth here, too. Number eight offense in the nation. I think Harvard takes this one. And going forward a little bit, I actually have Harvard coming out of this bracket, too, beating Michigan State.
I actually am with you on both fronts there. I have Harvard coming out of this region as well. Coached by a fellow Catholic Memorial alum, Teddy Donato. He's done a terrific job at Harvard, has his team back in the tournament for the first time in 15 years. For the second time in 15 years. ECAC champ. They have one of the best offensive players, the leading goal scorer in the country, and Jimmy Vesey. Chris had a very good year as well on that top line. And in net, Michaelick's been very good. We all know about his heroics in the Beanpot against BU. I think they get the best out of Mike Lick this weekend, and I think Harvard gets through. Nebraska Omaha is a team, to me, that's overseeded. They won a lot of games but also lost a lot of games. I don't know what to expect with this team. Very good top line with Gwenfell and Ortega, but I just think the difference here is Harvard is a team that's playing their best hockey at the right time of the year and has the best player on either team in this game, and Jimmy Vesey. Who comes in as the ECAC player and the nation's leading goal scorer with 31. I got Harvard against Minnesota State in the final, and I like the Crimson again. I think Minnesota State's a team that, while very good and very exciting, they didn't play the best competition nightly. Harvard didn't as well, but Harvard's early season matchups with Hockey East teams, they showed they can hang with the top teams in other tournaments like the Beanpot. I think Teddy Donato's group, back in the tournament for the first time in a while, I think Harvard gets to the Frozen Four here out of the Midwest Regional. Despite the travel, I think they get it done and really ride Jimmy Vesey, one of the top goal scorers in the country, all the way to the Frozen Four in Boston. Moving on to that final region, the East Regional, I think this one is the most interesting to me, a loaded region. You talk about Miami of Ohio, one of the best programs in the last 10 years under Enrico Blasi. You have Denver in here, a team with one of the better players in college hockey, and Joey LaLegia. And then BC, Jerry York, maybe not the oldest or best Boston College team, but you can't count Jerry York out this time of year. 963 wins as an NCAA coach, most of those at Boston College. 5 titles, 11 Frozen Fours with the Eagles. And then finally, 4th seed Providence. Providence is a team that kind of went under the radar, but they really get a great scenario here. They get to play at home, even as the 4th seed. Going to be awful tough for Miami, Ohio, who can't feel that the committee did him any favors, putting him in Providence as the 1 seed, going against the home team, led by one of the better goalies in the country, in John Gillies. How do you see this region breaking out? And really, who do you think are some of the top guys in this region to watch? This is the region we're actually going to see in person. What do we think some of the guys to watch here this weekend in the East Regional?
Well, I think Miami of Ohio emerges. They got a little jump at the end of the year there. They won the NCHC. They have a lot of weapons here. Riley Barber being their big goal scorer. He's 20-20 on the year. They're pretty balanced. Number 12 offense, just outside of the top 20 in defense with Jay Williams in net. Although his numbers are actually pretty strong. He's got a 1.89 goals against average, which is good enough for 5th in the nation. Miami Ohio got a pretty good jump at the end of the year up to the 4 to get a seed here. But I think they're the more talented team over Providence, who do not have a score on the top 50. Number 24 offense in the nation. They're here because of John Gillies. His numbers have been phenomenal. 3-1, 1.95 goals against average. They were a bubble team. They managed to get in. They drew Miami here in the first round, and I don't think they make it past that Miami squad.
Yeah, I think that while Miami might have got a tough draw here playing the home team, I think they do have enough talent to get through. Austin Zarnik, Riley Barber, Sean Corrali, and Anthony Lewis are all guys who played for the U.S. at the junior level. Barber was one of their better players 2 seasons ago. Winning the tourney championship in the best league in hockey tells me something. And I have a tough time picking against the coach here. Enrico Blasi is one of the better coaches in college hockey. Over 320 wins at only age 43. A guy who played at Miami, Ohio. I think they get through the first round against Providence, despite having to play basically a road game. In the other matchup, Denver and BC facing off. Denver, a team with a lot of talent. Danton Heinen, a Bruins prospect who had a big year here, 16 goals, 29 points, or 45. 29 assists, excuse me, for 45 points. They have a lot of depth, 7-10 goal scorers, 10-plus goal scorers. Trevor Moore is a guy who had 20 goals this year. Joey LaLegia, the player of the year in that conference, and a Hobie Baker finalist, an All-American. And Nolan Zajac, the younger brother of Travis Zajac, also a very talented defenseman for the Pioneers. The problem for me with Denver is goaltending. They've gone back and forth with 2 goalies here. They haven't had really consistent play in net. Tanner Gillette and Evan Coley will battle this out. I think it's Gillette in the matchups here. I think he gets the nod, but goaltending's been an issue here all year for Denver. I think BC gets by Denver in the first round, a young team led by Alex Tuck and Noah Hannafin. Thatcher Demko is a better goaltender in this matchup. I think BC gets through. But I like Miami, Ohio, like you said, Enrico Blasi. And you talk about their veterans, Riley Barber, a junior, Blake Coleman, a senior, Sean Corrali, a junior, and Austin Zarnik, senior. Seniors win this time of year. What do you think about that, Ben? And do you like Miami, Ohio out of this region?
We don't have a lot of discrepancies between the two of us here. I like Miami of Ohio coming out of it as well. But I do agree that BC steals one here over Denver. And I point to Thatcher Demko as well. His numbers on the year are pretty mediocre, 2.14 goals against average. But he's played well when he needed to. In the World Juniors, you were talking about the World Juniors earlier, his numbers were phenomenal. He had 9.39 save percentage, 1.74 goals against average, and a shutout. This team doesn't score much. They're outside the top 20 in offense, which is very un-BC-like. But I think they beat the Denver team here in the first round, despite the firepower that they have in Heinen and Moore and guys like that. And I agree. I think it's because of the goaltending on the Denver side. I like Demko over Cowley and Co over there. I got Miami then beating BC out of this region, setting up a Frozen Four of Harvard, Miami, BU, and Michigan Tech. And then I have an all-Boston final here with BU and Harvard.
Yeah, I have the same. I think Minnesota making the Frozen Four, but I have Miami, Ohio out of this region. I think it's Minnesota's tournament to lose. I think they're playing the best hockey at the right time of the year. And I think they get it done once they end up in Boston here at the Frozen Four. Thank you for tuning in for the Sieving the Suite podcast. This has been our third episode. Have a great week for Gus Elvin and Ben Arledge. Enjoy the action this weekend.